Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles. Cold again. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I know. I sound like such an elitist. It's 55 degrees in Los Angeles.
No, I think it's okay. You know what? It's May. It's about to be officially the summer this weekend.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
It's nice everywhere now. We can complain that it's raining.
Come on.
I'll allow it.
Clouds, get it together.
I don't know what's going on this year.
I don't either. El Nino, Dampo.
I mean, it's raining every day.
Terrible.
It's weird.
Good to have you in. Chris Broussard and Kevin Durant yelling, screaming at each other, and that's Joy Taylor. It's great to have Joy in today. We finally found the ratings are down 50% for the Eastern Conference Finals. The good news, we found another star for the Toronto-Milwaukee series. It's Drake, the hip-hop superstar. So he is an ambassador for the Raptors. And one of the cool things about sports is that when you pick a favorite sport, you're kind of picking a favorite culture. And Drake's up there and he's loud and he's noisy. And the Milwaukee coach, Mike Budenholzer, has had enough of him hanging around touching coaches.
I don't know how much he's on the court. It sounds like you guys are saying it's more than I realize. There's certainly no place for fans and, you know, whatever it is exactly that Drake is for the Toronto Raptors, you know, to be on the court. You know, there's boundaries and lines for a reason.
Listen, this is really an argument about culture, and I'm not going to change anybody's opinion on this, nor am I trying to. I'm going to try in the next 3 minutes, 4 minutes to create clarity. Every sport in America has a different culture. Golf, two words. Quiet, please. NASCAR is very Southern. Soccer is very the opposite, international. When you look at baseball, you cannot look at your home run for more than a second. It's about tradition and respect. The NFL is about the shield. It is very corporate. And the NBA, it's a soap opera. It's youthful. It's young. It's loud. It's fun. I've seen Drake before. It's called Jack Nicholson. It's called Spike Lee. It's the league where Steve Ballmer's screaming at people as an owner, where Mark Cuban is getting fined by the commissioner for banging on the refs. When you choose a sport, you're actually choosing a culture. And I've said this is why the NFL will always be king in America. It's Italian food. It's lasagna. It's pizza. It may not be your favorite, but everybody can kind of tolerate it. The NBA, I grew up on the beach. I like seafood. It's more like sushi. You love it or you don't love it at all. I remember the first time in college, I went to McDonald's with a bunch of guys in the car and I ordered a fillet of fish and they all freaked out. Gross! Fish! Ugh! I was like, I grew up on a dock. But I realized if you didn't grow up on a dock, half the people in the country don't like the smell of fish, the taste of fish, the texture of fish. Joy grew up in Pittsburgh, then Miami. She probably likes fish.
I do eat sushi, yes.
There you go. But that's the NBA. It's not for everybody. The NFL, even my sister watches it. So when it comes to baseball, tradition, golf, quiet please, NASCAR, Southern, soccer, international, the NBA, Drake's brand is the NBA's brand. It's a little hip-hop. It's a little youthful. It's a little fun. It's a little loud. It's a little party. It's a little internet. It's a lot of all that stuff. And I'm not going to change anybody's mind on this. But when you choose a sport, it generally says a lot about your personality. Young, fun, social people like the NBA. Older people who like tradition are baseball and golf fans. Southerners, college football, NASCAR. People who've traveled the world appreciate new stuff. They love soccer. So I'm an NBA guy. I like it. I always have. Keeps me young. And I'm not what you would currently call super young. But I also like the NFL more than anything because it's corporate. My dad was in the business. I like business. But I can't convince anybody that is bothered by Drake that I'm okay with it, and it's okay. Because you probably don't like, fit, understand the culture. All right, so my entire life, I have watched this whole big brother, little brother thing in sports. And what I mean by that is, like, Yankees are the big brother, the big brand in a city, and the Mets are the little brother. Michigan football's the big brother. You know, Michigan State's sort of the little brother. And you see that all the time. Lakers are the big brother, and the little brother's the Clippers. Dodgers, Angels, you see it all the time. See it a lot in college sports. The big state school, then the second school. University of Texas. And it's got a lot of little brothers. It's got Texas A&M. It's got Texas Tech. It's got UTEP. So right now, there is a belief that the little brother in Los Angeles, the Clippers, is going to overtake the big brother in Los Angeles, the Lakers. And I'm starting to hear this from everybody on Kevin Durant now. The rumor is he's thinking about going not to the Lakers, but to the Clippers. Here's Kendrick Perkins.
If I'm KD, I think I would really consider going to the Clippers. I mean, you look at them and it's like they stability, man. And it's like, yeah, this is a franchise. And you can see Kevin Durant going there. It's in L.A. He could flourish and be himself, and it would be his team. And I would love to see KD play for a coach like Doc Rivers. The way Doc draws up plays and his play calling, I could just imagine the plays he would draw for Kevin Durant.
And that now is gaining momentum and gaining steam. They're going to take over the city. But let me ask you, after six straight losing seasons, who did LeBron pick? The Lakers. Lakers have the losingest record in the NBA. 6 years. Last 6 years. Who did LeBron pick? Best player in the world. Face of the league. He picked the Lakers. Who is Kevin Durant considering? The Knicks. Second worst record in the NBA. Maybe KD's considering the Clippers. And maybe KD's considering Brooklyn. But put me under, I'll believe it when I see it. I go to Clippers games every year, and I go to Laker games every year, and there was no question. The Clipper fans, the Clipper tickets, they're giving more away, they're a little less expensive, and I think KD and Kawhi could change that, and I do think the power pyramid, the structure, the flow start for the Clippers is way better than the Lakers. But every time the little brother has a little success, like the Mets over the Yankees, remember that in the 80s, 86, or the A's, the Moneyball A's briefly over the Giants, but the Giants eventually won three World Series, and the Yankees eventually won more World Series, and the Angels won in 2002, but it's the Dodgers that keep winning their division, and the Jets had Joe Namath and briefly Rex Ryan, but it's the Giants that win Super Bowls. The little brother. Michigan State's pretty good. Then Jim Harbaugh gets hired at Michigan. Now it's Michigan School and Michigan State, and Michigan's in the bigger games. And it was Auburn for a while, and then Alabama hires Nick Saban, and it's now Alabama winning national championships and Auburn going to the Capital One Bowl. Listen, Byron Scott said it yesterday. If you want to come to L.I., I'm a free agent. I'd say look at the Clippers first. Kawhi Leonard. I'm Kawhi Leonard. I'm getting pursued by both. I think I'd take a harder look at the Clippers because of the stability, what they have. Kendrick Perkins, I'd look at the Clippers. Just, I will believe the little brother has surpassed the big brother if Kevin Durant goes to Brooklyn and Kyrie follows him and so does Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant go to the Clippers. Because my entire life in sports, I've seen the little brother, Michigan State football, Auburn football, North Carolina State basketball, Jim Valvano. But eventually North Carolina gets the right coach, and they build it up, and they win the national championships. And that's the way it always works. Yes, the Mets were adorable. Keith Hernandez got on Seinfeld, and Lenny Dykstra, and Wally Backman, and who did A-Rod go to? Who had Jeter? Who's proud of wild card titles and who's really proud of World Series titles? I think it'd be great if the Clippers land KD and Kawhi. I really do. It's fun. But, man, 6 years of losing for the Lakers did not dissuade LeBron from coming there. And he may regret it today, but if the Clippers had the worst record in the NBA for 6 years, and there's probably six-year stretches they did, LeBron wouldn't have chosen. Brands are powerful, and the big brand, when they get their you-know-what together, usually rise over the second brand, and they do it really, really quickly. Rooting for the Clippers here, it'd be fun. Rooting for Brooklyn here, it'd be fun. I'll believe it when I see it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, it's great to have you back in today. Absolutely great to have you back in. Kevin Durant and our Chris Broussard, who will join me in 10 minutes, have been fighting all week. It's crazy. I have a lot of stuff back and forth. So Chris was on the radio, and Chris was on TV here on FS1. He was talking about stuff, about what happens if the Warriors win a couple of rings without Kevin Durant. Is it his worst nightmare? And then Kevin Durant, who, like social media, was apparently watching FS1. Obviously he was. And he went to Twitter and he goes, slight exaggeration, buddy, in my worst nightmare. And then, Kevin Durant also pushed back when Chris Broussard talked about, that they had talked a lot texting on the phone. And then Kevin Durant came out and said, cap, 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 which I'm told means lie, 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 lie. You don't have my number, man. Chris Broussard said, DM, Twitter, DM, text, all the same, dude. Don't act like I'm lying. All right, so my takeaway on this is, first of all, I don't care what the device was. If you're texting, DMing, Facebooking, Instagramming, Snapchatting anybody 50 times, that's a trusting relationship. Most of the time people DM me, I can't get out of it fast enough. I'm not into it, right? I'm very few people I would trust texting or talking to 50 times. You never know if they're going to take those words like this, throw them back at you. So I just stay off the phone as much as I can in terms of DM and text, even with friends. I'm a yes-no guy, right? And so, but this is a technicality. This is, it's not my text, it's my DM. If you are in a relationship with somebody 50 times, I don't care what the device is, okay? This is KD deflecting. This is like when the girlfriend grabs the boyfriend's phone and goes, oh, who's she? And the boyfriend's like, why are you looking at my phone? He's deflecting. He didn't want to talk about why he was talking to another girl on the phone. This is deflecting by KD. Obviously, Broussard and he have done a lot of talking here, and Chris Broussard actually answered this. Play the tape.
Let me start this off by saying I like and respect Kevin Durant and am not trying to continue a Twitter beef with him. However, he did challenge my credibility and I must respond to that. In my telephone, I have more than 60 direct messages from Kevin Durant on Twitter and Instagram since February of 2018. These were conversations initiated by KD himself. We talked about a lot of the things I talked about on Undisputed, and some of these conversations lasted more than 5 hours. If you want to argue over the difference between a text and a DM in the year 2019, go right ahead. But to me, it's all the same thing. For those of you want me to publish these DMs, it's not going to happen. Out of respect for KD, those texts will remain private. Finally, after all of this, I will continue to love, respect, and pray for Kevin Durant and objectively analyze him as a basketball player.
So let me go back to this with Kevin Durant. I feel jealous because I love Kevin Durant. I talk about it all the time. And I said this year I thought he was better than LeBron. I'm the only guy apparently he doesn't DM. So I'm feeling kind of hurt on this. I would like a little love from Kevin Durant. I moved to your side about 4 months ago. I haven't had one direct message sent to me. But here's the second thing. KD's not playing basketball. KD's not married. KD doesn't have kids. KD has got a lot of time on his hands, and I've even told people I work with, marriage, kids, get you off the phone. You just got more responsibilities. So single guys, no kid guy, not playing guy. Some of this is Kevin's got more spare time on his hands, okay? He goes treatments to his phone. Phone to his treatments. But here's the thing about Kevin, and I like him a lot. What Twitter really is, and a psychologist will tell you this, it's just projecting and seeking validation. That's what social media is. Look, my food is perfect. My life is perfect. I'm beautiful. Nobody puts a bad day on Twitter. Nobody puts a bad day on Instagram. Nobody puts a bad day. It's a seeking validation and projecting tool. Now, all of us do that. I've done it. You've done it. It's not over time, though, healthy. And this is my knock on KD. Is he going to the Knicks potentially because they have much better management? No. Is he going to the Knicks because they can pay him more? No. I will always, always support professional athletes if they feel they're underpaid, if they're seeking more money, if they're seeking better bosses, if they're seeking better teammates. I will support every pro athlete that's ever lived. But if you're going somewhere that has less money and less players and less history and less ownership and less. Isn't that Twitter seeking validation? Like, this is deflecting and projecting and validation. And it's the stuff that worries me that KD is going to make a terrible choice and leave the smartest basketball system in America. This would be like Duncan leaving the Spurs. When you are lucky enough to be around in basketball, Magic Johnson inherited Kareem smart and Jerry West smart and James Worthy and the Buss family, and it was just Pat Riley, and you don't leave that. And Tim Duncan, he inherits David Robinson and then Greg Popovich, and then they get Tony Parker. You don't leave that. Man, when you join a family as smart as the Warriors, with such good guys. It's so funny. We think of Draymond as the crazy guy. Yeah, the more I watch the Warriors, he's the glue of the family. And he's the crazy guy. And my old worry about Kevin Durant isn't this stuff. It's that he'll seek validation. Don't. Seek bosses. Seek teammates. Seek smart. Seek some money. I get money. But Kevin, please, give leaving Golden State a second, third, fourth, and fifth thought.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So there's a story. John Gruden, Antonio Brown didn't show up for camp. Yesterday he did. John Gruden was asked about it, and he talked about, you know, this Antonio Brown and the relationship they're building. And here's John Gruden. Listen carefully.
I'm not going to get into the relationship business. You know, I think Brown is a great guy. I love having him here. Derek's a great guy. You can't rush a relationship. You just don't have a great relationship in 3 weeks or 2 months. Something that you got to earn and you got to really work at. And that's why it's important that we spend time together. But I'm a little worn out with all the relationships and all the things that really don't matter right now.
He's already worn out. Okay, great. He's been there a year. He's worn out. I could go after Antonio Brown here, but I have a question. What's the Raiders' plan? Because we're on the third one in a year. Their first plan was, we're not going to pay stars. We're going to accumulate draft picks. That felt very New England to me. I was okay with that. Like, it was weird letting go of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, but they did end up with 3 first-round picks. And I thought, okay, just don't get rid of Derek Carr. Just keep your quarterback. So that was their first plan. And although I didn't really get given up Khalil Mack, they did keep a quarterback who I like, and they did accumulate unbelievable picks. So that was a first plan. Don't pay stars. And then at the end of the season, in free agency, they did the opposite. It felt like the Miami Dolphins. We're going to overpay for everybody. What? Yeah, we're going to pay Trent Brown the most any offensive lineman's ever made. Well, he's a left tackle. No, we're going to move him to right. What? Antonio Brown, noisy. Okay, you bring him in, and he's great, but man, it's a lot of money. And then there's Terrell Williams, another wide receiver. So now you kind of feel like Miami. Give me a little noise. I'm going to pay a lot of money. Okay, that's the culture. So it's not no stars. It's paying a lot of money for guys who I don't like as much. And then draft night, they went to another plan. Remember draft night? They reached for guys who were glue guys and chemistry guys and family guys and great in the, and they're going to build a. So we're on a third culture now. It was, I don't want stars. I'm going to overpay for guys I don't even consider stars. And then in the draft, it's going to, I'm going to draft guys that are chemistry guys. I'm going to reach for them a little bit, but they'll put the glue back together and we'll get. John, pick a lane. What? Now you're already worn out from AB? I mean, I could bang on AB, but in the end, remember, what is the message a coach is sending to the locker room? No stars. Just kidding. Glue guys. Where's AB? The message started like New England. Then it's Miami. Now it feels like kind of Colts, Philadelphia. I'm lost. And we're a year in. Worn out? I'm worn out. I can't figure out what your messaging is.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
One of the things I like about Charles Barkley, he takes big swings. He doesn't sit on the fence. He's not Captain Safe Take. He's not afraid to be wrong. It's one of the reasons I love Barkley. He's funny. He has big opinions. And he's not, you know, half the guys doing this for a living are petrified to get called out for a wrong opinion. Barkley never is. You know, he said about 2 weeks ago, like, Steph Curry, KD's gone. They can't beat anybody. Well, Steph Curry's just elevated his game. Draymond Green elevated his game. So Barkley came on yesterday. He was on PTI or something and admitted to Kornheiser and Wilbon. He's like, yeah, I was wrong on that whole Steph Curry thing.
First of all, I was 100% wrong. But kudos to the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry has put his name back in the conversation, Tony. When we talk about the best players in the world, we talk about KD, Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron. Steph Curry's proven to us the reason he's a two-time MVP.
Can I just say this about Steph Curry? And maybe his parents get credit for this. I don't know. One of the things I really like about him, I get the same guy every day at work. It's why I love Duncan. It's why I love Brady. Like, when you work with people, there's all sorts of talent in every business. It's hard to work with people. And I'll say this, Joy comes in every day. Grinder comes in. How you doing? Breakfast. Do the show. I like that. Like, in my life, in my life of broadcasting and radio and TV, I've been doing it for 30 years. I like the same coworkers every day. What if I was coming in one day hungover, one day mad, one day goofy, one day funny, one day joyful? It's hard. Steph Curry's the same guy every day. I like that about it. That's nothing against Westbrook, but man, I get a lot of different Westbrooks. But when you watch that Gotham Chopra documentary on Steph Curry, dad, same dad every day. Husband, same husband every day. Teammate, same teammate every day. He is so his person. And that's why, by the way, that's when dynasties last longer. When your top player is the same guy every day. Spurs Duncan, that dynasty lasted over 10 years. Brady, that dynasty's almost 20 years. Warriors, dynasty's five. It's got another five in it. Like Shaq and Kobe should have lasted a lot longer. But you got a different Shaq Tuesday to Thursday. That thing should have lasted a lot longer. And Steph Curry's personality is, and that's nothing against KD. Get a little drama. Nothing against LeBron. Get a little drama. Nothing against Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Embiid. But man, I get a different dude a lot. And you watch that documentary on Steph Curry, and it's just, he's like human Alka-Seltzer. You know how you have Alka-Seltzer and you too much salt in your food and there's disruption down there in the boiler and you're like, I don't feel good. You do Alka-Seltzer and it just fizzes up and like takes it away and you're like he's the human Alka-Seltzer. Steve Kerr admitted, he goes, you know, when Draymond and Kevin Durant had their skirmish, Steph was hurt and wasn't around. And so Steph in the room like soothes and sandpapers all the rough edges. This is a current NBA dynasty. Of course they have fights. Of course they have skirmishes. This is about the time this stuff usually blows up. And you know what? It's not blowing. I mean, KD may leave, but he's not leaving because he doesn't like everybody. KD may leave for validation, another thing, but he's not leaving because he doesn't like his teammates. Like Steph Curry and maybe his parents get credit for it, but I just love the fact that you just get the same Steph every day. 0 for 11, same Steph. 12 for 18, same Steph. Win, loss. It's the same dude. And I think dynasties tend to last longer when your star has an even keel demeanor, temperament, or personality. And, you know, Shaq could be angry. Shaq could be joyful. Jack could be funny. Shaq could be, give me the ball. Shaq could be a great teammate. And Shaq is all that and more. But that it's hard to maintain 9 years together when you have inconsistent personalities driving the room. And that's just one of the many things I love about Steph Curry. And I love that Charles Barkley admits, yeah, I kind of whiffed on that one. A lot of different things. Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cavs, was doing all sorts of talking yesterday. And Dan Gilbert is actually a fairly he's a fairly remarkable businessman. He's from Detroit, and he buys Quicken Loans is a company. He goes, creates the Cavs, and then he puts a ton of money back in Michigan and Detroit, and there's kind of a renaissance. My wife's from there. Kind of a renaissance in Michigan and Detroit building that thing back up. Dan Gilbert, there's times he wears me out and has driven me crazy, and I've been very critical of him. But as a businessman, he's really, really good. And, you know, he said something yesterday about LeBron, and it was really interesting. He said, with LeBron, he was talking yesterday, there was a limited shelf life in terms of age and his contractual commitment. It was a win now at all cost. And, you know, it all kind of revolves around the sun, which is him. And whatever pressure comes with it, it worked out. We won a title. And, you know, he's right. But here's what's interesting. Is that I'm going to look back, and this is not a knock on Dan Gilbert or LeBron, but they were together 11 years, and we got one title out of it. Now, I know it's Cleveland, so they'll take that title, but Russell had 11, Jordan 6, Kareem 6, Magic 5, Duncan 5, Kobe 5, Shaq 4. Right now, LeBron's in his 16th year. We got three titles, and I do not see one on the horizon. I'll make an argument, and you can blame Dan or LeBron, but that LeBron-Cleveland thing, it didn't give us nearly as many titles as it should. 11 years and one title.
People complain that the time he was with the Heat didn't give them enough titles. That was 4 years.
This is three times as long and half the titles.
Yeah.
Like, I'll look back at this, LeBron's career, and I will not ever criticize him for what he is, which is remarkable. He's the Swiss Army knife of the NBA. Love him. But I'm going to look back and go, Russell got 11, MJ 6, Kareem 6, Magic 5, Duncan 5, Kobe 5, Shaq 4. And all those guys were a shot or two away from another title. I don't know, Russell, I didn't watch those. But 11 years, one city, one title feels like they left a lot on the table.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, he played for a decade and a half. He was a five-time All-NBA All-Star, number one draft pick, by way, the way, of the Magic. And Chris Webber's on the call tonight, Milwaukee and Toronto. First of all, C-Web, I got to start with this. Juwan Howard, your friend, gets the Michigan job. Did you call on his behalf? Did you know the process was going on here the last 2 weeks?
I don't care about Michigan, Colin. This is Charles Barkley. I'm walking with C-Web. I was watching.
That's Barkley?
I'm the same guy all the time, brother.
Where are you guys at?
We're walking to lunch. We got to go kiss the boss's ass, Jeff Zucker. He going to sit down with us for the first time since he took over the job. So me and Chris are going to lunch to kiss his ass a little bit. But I was watching you earlier. I'm the same guy all the time, brother. I ain't no fake brother.
By the way, I just spent 5 minutes complimenting you.
I just said. I said thank you for the kind words. I was watching. Hey, I just called a game, man. I'm walking with C-Web in line. Thanks for the kind words. I know you called for C-Web, but thanks for the kind words, brother.
Charles Barkley, thank you very much. You know we love you. We talk about you often, and we love all the guys on TNT. Thank you. And come on anytime you want to come on.
All right, boy. Here's C-Web.
All right, C-Web. Well, I'll tell you this, C-Web. That's one of the great interview starts I've ever had in my career.
Hey, that's how you do. You want to get a little love, you bring the man on. How you doing, Colin?
I'm doing great. So give me the Juwan Howard thing. You obviously knew this thing was happening. You guys are friends. Did you call on his behalf?
I didn't call on his behalf. Colin, I don't know if that would have helped. I don't know. Can I be on his behalf, you know, very honestly. So the fact I prayed, you know, with him and, you know, definitely supporting him. But, no, I had no idea that it was going to happen. And, you know, that's why for me it was definitely tears of joy. And it was because it's because I know he wanted this. I've talked to him a long time about being a coach. talked to him a long time about his efforts in Miami, and talked to him a long time about him working with players and the difference in culture, the difference in players, things that he had to prepare and humble himself to be in that position in the NBA. And so I knew that he wanted this, and so I'm just so happy for him, because a lot of people may think, you know, hey, he's an NBA guy, he wants to know. He's the first dude to, you know, graduate on time outside of college. When he went to the league early, his junior year, he still graduated on time. Michigan has been special with him. He recruited me there. I know there's a lot of stories about us going, or who's the leader of this. It's about, you know, him recruiting me there. And so I'm just happy from playing with him in Michigan, playing with him in Washington, actually making a decision to go to one of the worst teams because he was there. Not smart on my part, basketball-wise, but definitely as a friendship, and just to see his growth and development, man, I was so happy for it. So, no, I can't take any credit. I wasn't part of it besides just being his personal cheering section.
You know, it's interesting. I was just saying before you came on, the two basketball teams in college that I remember and will forever, Phi Slamma Jamma and the Fab Five. And it does bum me out that the Michigan thing has never been perfect and it doesn't all work together. Do you think there's a possibility that Juwan now getting Michigan does at least bring you guys all a little closer together? Because the Fab Five was a culture-changing moment in American sports. I liked college as much as pro back then. Do you think Juwan can mend some fences with all this stuff?
I think that, one, it's really about, you know, and so I'm going to get to your question, Colin, because it's a great question, but I just want to keep reiterating, it's about him getting the job.
Yeah.
And that if, you know, it's more important that he gets the job and that Michigan wins than us getting back together. Secondly, Juwan, you know, he and I are very close, so he's been a big proponent of that happening. A lot, and I definitely want it to happen. I'm sure others want it to happen, but for me, it was taking you know, man, I want to keep this about Juwan, so it is about him and a job, but I do think that with this being the first step, I mean, it has to be positive, right? It has to be some good things happening and those type of things. So I definitely see this as a great, it couldn't be a better first step in the world than this happening, but I want to make sure that we take time to honor him, let him get his feet wet and all that thing, because I don't want him to be dragged down in the mud of the discussions that are going to happen for that to happen. And so that's all I worry about. You know how it is, Colin. You have crazy like parables on your show where you go on rants and they make sense. And so for me, it's more so like I'm very happy this happened. I don't want anything to jade the wonderful moment of him getting the job, getting settled, getting his team together, and I'm sure, hopefully, prayerfully, everything else falls in line. But for any of us to go around and talk about any of that before celebrating this and letting it sink in, I don't think it's just cool on our part. But definitely, yes, I'm with you, brother, and all the good stuff. Yeah.
All right, two questions, and I'm gonna let you and Charles sit down and have lunch, because I know Charles probably sitting there going, "Come on, Webb, get off the phone with Cowherd." All right, two questions. Number one. Do you think Durant's made up his mind yet? You bounced around this league. You know what guys are thinking. Has he made his mind up, do you believe, or is he still simmering on a bunch of teams?
Okay, so I don't know what he's doing, but I'm going to tell you what I think. I think the Clippers are going to get two major free agents. I think that do not sleep on draft pick Jerry. Jerry West is one of the most influential guys in this league. People trust him. He's with the Clippers. And I can see two guys going there. And I can see him being one. I know everybody talks about New York, but I think everybody's sleeping on Clipperland. And all the mess that's going on over in Lakerland right now isn't helping it. And by the way, nobody wanted to go to the Lakers before then. I hate to say that. It's not just I'm a Laker hater. I love the Lakers, grew up on them. But that's just honestly how I feel. So I would not be surprised if Durant went to the Clippers. That's just my opinion. I wouldn't be surprised they got him and Kawhi. I think they're going to get two free agents. And, I think that they've shown who they are. They're a good organization, a great owner, and they have, you know, great people in that organization. You see that all they need is some guys to bring them over the top. I think them getting to the playoffs and not worrying about that draft pick, it wasn't the end of the world, but it was pretty smart of them to say, hey, we put winning first, and who was that draft pick anyway? You'll see later, but it wasn't worth the risk. And so, I don't know if he's gone, but if he is gone, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the Clippers.
And finally, LeBron James, and I agree with you, I don't think they're going to land a big free agent. Do you think this morning there's a little bit of LeBron after Magic retired or quit that regrets coming to the Lakers? Or do you think he's all good with it because of the business?
Okay, so with LeBron, I don't think there's ever been an athlete, because he came in this area of the Twitterverse and social media, that has had as much pressure or has reached expectations as LeBron. $100 million before he stepped on the court. But in saying that, if I'm him, I'm pissed. I'm not trying to throw shots at anybody, but you're going to get me the guy that coached Sacramento Kings last year, and you're happy that they got in the ninth place. I got 3 years left in my career. This is who you bring? I know first-round draft picks that don't want to play for a college coach that doesn't know the culture of the league. So I know LeBron has won championships for all of his coaches that never won one before. I get it. We've heard names because LeBron is such a great coach. But why would you bring in a guy like LeBron? Now, we can talk about all the issues with LeBron, but knowing those issues, why would you bring him in and not bring the coach that he wants? If you don't want to bring the coach he wants, don't bring him in. But he's earned that right now with his championships. So for me, to have a guy like Frank Vogel, that's going to be hard to recruit anyway. You can recruit to Indiana with a guy like Frank Vogel. So how the hell are you going to do that with the greatest player in the league? And so to me, I think that, yeah, I think he regrets it. Or I won't say regrets it. I think that he's, you know, thinking like, damn, this is what I came for. This is how you guys are going to do me. But also as a competitor, I can't wait to this season, because, look, he's going to have the most rest he's had in 9 years. He's going to be ticked off. He's going to have incentives. And I think, you know, as a basketball fan, I'm going to get some of the best LeBron that we've gotten in all of his career. And that's pretty incredible, 16 seasons in. So I don't know if he regrets it, but I know that I would believe that he damn sure doesn't like what's going on. And he's like, y'all used to call me the drama king. Y'all used to call me this is where I go to. So I'm sure he's thinking about some things.
Okay, he's on the call tonight. Milwaukee, Toronto, TNT NBA analyst. Have him on a couple of times a year, Chris Webber. I love you being honest. By the way, last quick question. Who's picking up the tab?
Oh, I don't. Well, you know, you just heard Chuck say, well, first of all, I don't know anyone that's been any place ever with Chuck and he's not picked up the tab. So even though it should be on the corporate credit card, I could see Chuck reaching over and paying for it. He does not believe in letting people pay to eat or drink. So it'll probably be on Chuck.
good talking to you, Chris.
Thanks a lot. Thank
all
you.
Right. By the way, Barkley does have a legendary reputation as the first guy. He's got long arms. Charles always picks up the check. And by the way, there are a lot of people, including a former Charles teammate in Houston, who did not tip and who did not pick up the check. And I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, not even tip?
You know, no tipping. Pippin?
I thought you said you weren't going to say anything.
It's out there. I like Scotty, but Barkley is legendary for grabbing the check, buying it for everybody. It's one of the reasons I like him.
That is nice. It's tough to go to dinner with somebody who doesn't want to pay, or at least split it.
Tough. I've broken up friendships over that.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you all go out to eat together, it shouldn't even be a conversation. Everyone should at least want to pay.
You'd think.
Right.
All right, great stuff. Charles Barkley initially and Chris Webber.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.